Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reicher, Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. First, a crime you don't hear about every day. That's correct, train wrecking. Second, a terrible case from West Virginia. Third, a case from Utah that simply brings the sounds of dueling banjos to mind. And fourth, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Scott Reich from Crime Talk, and thank you for tuning in. If you have not already subscribed, we would ask you to please do so. Second, hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we put up new content. And as always, please leave us a comment below. We do care about what you have to say about the cases we cover. First on the docket, let's talk about a crime you do not hear about every day. That's right, train wrecking. I can honestly say I have never handled a train wrecking case. I will also be honest with you again. I didn't even know that such a crime existed. But yes, it's true. It is Title 18 of the United States Code, 1992, Wrecking Trains. And guess what? We have a train engineer, Eduardo Moreno, 44, of San Pedro, California, that wrecked his train yesterday. And what was he trying to do with his train? He deliberately ran the train off the tracks at a high speed near the port of Los Angeles in an attempt to crash his train into the United States naval ship Mercy. You know, the one that went to Los Angeles to help treat people with the COVID virus. That's right. Now, apparently Mr. Moreno has talked to the authorities, and he stated that he was intentionally doing this because the time was right and that the public needed to know. Apparently, he was quite concerned that the ship was even there. Mr. Moreno admitted to crashing the train intentionally, but stated that he did not plan it out in advance. It's also believed that he acted alone. He stated to officers, "You only get this chance once. The whole world is watching. I had to. People don't know what's going on. Now they will." Apparently, video from inside the train also shows Mr. Moreno holding a lighted flare during the entire incident. Obviously, Mr. Moreno faces up to 20 years in prison. He also faces a lot of restitution for the cost of the train, crashing the train through barriers, and any other damage that he caused as a result of him running his train and stopping only 250 feet from the naval ship Mercy. First thing that his attorneys may want to do is ask for a competency evaluation, because this one makes no sense. Next on the docket, a terrible case out of West Virginia that simply did not need to happen. Keaton Boggs was 5 years old. He was in the care of his grandmother, Michelle Boggs. That's because his father had passed away of a drug overdose about a year ago, and his mother, Jessica Bishop Holt, had lost custody of young Keaton because she too had had drug issues. She was doing her best to get clean and sober and was actually looking forward to a reunification of her son, Keaton. Unfortunately, because Jessica, the biological mother, did not get along with her deceased husband's family, the grandmother, Michelle Boggs, who took care of this child, along with two others that were in this household, are now charged with Keaton's death. And what is so sad about this, like so many child abuse cases, is that some of the people that lived in the house, Peter and Chastity Wodinski, posted pictures of young Keaton's five-year-old birthday party, and it's clear that he has bruises all about his face, and yet no one reported it. These photographs actually went on Facebook, and yet this child went unprotected. Ultimately, Keaton was taken to the hospital, and authorities alerted police as the injuries were not consistent with five-year-old's playing outside. The doctors discovered that Keaton had suffered severe head trauma, which included bleeding on the brain. Hospital workers became suspicious because Ms. Boggs could not explain the injuries. Keaton died 2 days later, covered in bruises and large lacerations on his genitals. So the grandma, Michelle Boggs, as well as the other family members that resided in the house, Chastity and Peter Wodinski, are all in custody on a no-bond hold for the death of Keaton. This is just a sad case that was obviously preventable. These are the type of cases that really just make you want to scratch your head and say, why doesn't somebody just speak up? They were posting pictures on Facebook of this child that clearly show that he was bruised and assaulted, and no one did anything. When one person did ask, Chastity apparently said, oh, the dog pushed him down the stairs. Either way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a big fan of social services getting involved, but when you see visible injuries like that, that's the type of situation where somebody has to step in and at least investigate. Next on the docket, a case out of Utah that suddenly brings to mind dueling banjos in your head. For those of you who are not familiar with that, there's a scene in the movie Deliverance where basically there's dueling banjos, and one of the individuals that was playing the banjos was probably a little inbred. Well, they have laws to prevent those sorts of things, and apparently in Utah, a couple is being charged with incest because they married each other and their first cousins. They face up to 5 years in prison and a $5,000 fine. And for those of you who are not familiar with what a first cousin would be, that would be if I had a son and my brother had a daughter and those two got married. There's laws against that as it creates genetic issues and is simply not safe. But hey, what the hell these days? It seems like the whole world is kind of coming apart. And next on the docket, Melissa Barton Schmidt. She is a woman in Florida, and she is subject to a stay-at-home order. Now, apparently Ms. Barton Schmidt was arrested on one count of disorderly conduct and alleged violation of the Executive Order 2051, Section 7, signed by Governor Ron DeSantis. Apparently, this genius filmed herself taking a walk in downtown Stuart and streamed it on Facebook Live. In the video, Ms. Barton Smith said that she had been tested for COVID-19 but hadn't yet received the results yet. She apparently wrote on Facebook, however, that she thought the results would come back positive. One of Ms. Barton Schmidt's viewers saw her comments and reported her to the police. Apparently, when the officers arrived, Ms. Barton Schmidt became agitated and began to cause a disturbance. She told the officers that she was tested 11 days ago and has not yet received the results. Apparently, there was some disagreement regarding private medical records and the fact that she had basically waived those by discussing them on Facebook Live. They thought it was subject to open discussion. Now, we've had lots of dumb criminal contestants who are coughing on people and spitting on people, which is just dumb. But the fact that you're out ignoring the order when you believe that you may have the COVID virus, that is not a good thing, and don't broadcast it to the world that you're flaunting the orders when it's really there for the people that have the condition. So, Ms. Barton Schmidt, you are our dumb criminal contestant of the day. We hope that you find us here on YouTube, and you can even put a link on your Facebook page showing that you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. And in fact, contact us, and we will give you a Crime Talk mug at no expense to you. Now, if you'd like to get your own mug, all you have to do is hit that little link below, go to Teespring, and man, they'll mail that out to you within a day or two, and then you too can have a mug, and you can say honestly that you did not have to be a dumb criminal contestant to achieve such a feat. Thanks for watching. Have a great day. make sure you're responsible, do your social distancing, wash your hands, don't cough on people. And if you do have a positive diagnosis of COVID-19, please don't go outside walking around. And please, please don't go around airing it on Facebook Live. Have a great day.